When Dr. Linkous concluded, the casket was opened, and the crowd was allowed to pass up and see, for the last time, the face of the girl that was so beloved in the little country village that she once called home. Although almost everyone passed the coffin, it was not the morbid crowd that thronged the undertaking parlors while the body was there. Real feeling, real sorrow, was exhibited as the mournful procession wended its way around the bier. Many tears, silent tributes to the dead girl, dropped down on the flowers that surrounded her mutilated face. Her playmate breaks down. Annie Castile, a 19-year-old girl who worked with Mary at the knitting mills at Marietta 3 years ago, broke down completely when she saw the body. Hysterically sobbing, she was led out of the church by friends. Caring nothing for her neat, tailored dress, not seeming to notice the hundreds of eyes that were focused on her, she sank down on the church steps and wept as if her heart would break. "And she was so good and kind and gentle," she wailed, apparently to herself. "Oh, the vile wretch that killed her! I could kill him with my hands if I saw him." Her sentiments were echoed in a crowd of dry-eyed men with lowering brows that pityingly watched her.
"The nigger knows all about it," growled a
sunburnt farmer, a wry, humorless smile disfiguring his face.
"And I could make him talk. Oh, yes. If we had that scoundrel in Marietta, we'd know how to get him to talk. We'd make him be polite. He'd talk just as pretty as you please for us. Either that or something else."
And his knotted fingers twined lovingly around each other. They were strong, powerful fingers, ones that can squeeze the life from one with one grasp, and his motion would have boded evil had the Negro been within reach of the public. Casket carried to grave. Finally, the crowd in the church thinned out, and the casket was brought out. Mrs. Fagan was half carried out, her husband, J.W. Coleman, on one side of her, and Dr. Linkous on the other. Behind them walked the sorrowing sister, with her brother Ben, a sailor from the United States ship Franklin, who arrived in Atlanta Monday night. The smaller brothers, Joshua and Charlie, brought up the rear. While the hearse and carriages went around the road to the cemetery, the great crowd poured over the railroad tracks to the cemetery. Dr. Linkous spoke briefly at the grave. The old comforting lines, "earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust," did not seem to comfort even him, and he broke off his prayer, as if he thought that time alone and no words on earth could heal the wounds that had been made in the hearts of the family. When the first shovelful of earth was thrown down into the grave, Mrs. Fagan broke down completely. Half deliriously, she raved of her daughter, taken away when spring was coming. She was taken away when the spring was coming, the spring that was so like her. Oh, and she wanted to see the spring. She loved it. It loved her. She played with it. It was a sister to her, almost. On she wailed. Her husband tried to quiet her, but he failed. She crept up to the edge of the grave, and taking from the clergyman's hand the handkerchief that he had been using to wipe away her tears, she waved it.
"Goodbye, Mary," she sobbed. "Goodbye.
It's too big a hole to put you in, though. It's so big, B-I-G, and you were so little, my own little Mary.